This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Hello, Cowboy Nation. Cowboy Nation, it's great to be on this, and we got my partners next to me here, Steve-O and Rodney. How you guys doing, man?
Well, the NFL season is upon us once again. We started with the old combine, so it's amazing how much of an off season there is for like NFL watchers. I mean, you end the Super Bowl beginning of February, and then all of a sudden it's the beginning of March, and it's combine time. So there's not a whole lot of downtime. I think the NFL does something purposely for that. Yeah,
they maximize their time perfectly.
Was there any standout that you guys seen
at the combine?
Yeah.
What's that kid's name? He's like 6'7", runs a two and a half second, 50 meters. I mean, well, it's crazy, right?
Did you see what Adidas offered? It's anyone wearing Adidas shoes.
Well, I briefly heard about this. Tell me more about that. What happened exactly?
Well, actually, I heard about it too. And Steve-O confirmed it. We were talking in the hallway. And Adidas shoes, Adidas company, anyone that runs a 4.26,
I think, or something.
It's got
to
be.
It had to be Chris Johnson, yeah, who has the fastest recorded.
It can't be 6 then.
Okay, well, I don't know.
It would have to be a little lower than that, 4.24 maybe.
Okay, but yeah. Whoever beat Chris Johnson, all right, who was he, C2K or whatever it was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he plays for the Cardinals, doesn't he?
Yeah. So whoever beat his fastest 40 recorded time, if they were wearing
Adidas
spikes or shoes, whatever they're wearing on the turf right out there, would get their own private island. And there was like pictures of like three islands they got to choose from. Now, people kind of find that far-fetched. But, there's islands out there that you can buy. And you don't have to be Mark Cuban or Jerry Jones or something like that to buy it. I mean, there's islands. I mean, I watch stuff all the time. Yeah, I mean, you're watching out like whatever, Island Life, or you're watching the Rich and the Famous Life or whatever it is, and there's islands you can buy. You just get on like realtor.com or something like that. You go buy an island. So Adidas is buying $1 million island for somebody if they're wearing Adidas shoes.
$1 million island. What can $1 million island be, though?
Oh, you gotta watch.
I mean, it's probably
it's a piece of pavement is what $1 million island
no,
is.
No, pull it up on get on your computer
I'm
box
not
there.
Pulling up an island. How do we know that's the island they're going to?
There was a choice of, they had like three different ones out there that you could choose from, whichever one. It was like whatever you want to do. I'm sure they had them under contract.
What a great way to get your name out there if you're Adidas. You know what you got with the clientele that's wearing the Adidas.
Right.
And you're thinking, hey, how do we look? Well, we got 6 offensive linemen and 3 defensive ends and possibly 2 tight ends. Okay, this is what we're going to do, guys. We're going to make a contest after they figure out who's all in it. If there was 2-3 wideouts in there,
they probably wouldn't have done it.
No, they know exactly their clientele.
Except there's a kid that runs a 4.22.
Believe you me, they wouldn't have the contest if he wore Adidas.
And he's wearing Nike. And he doesn't get an island. I mean, how is that?
Wah. And then you get your Adidas shoe and look at him. If you had these on, then he'd look back and say, so, you wouldn't even have this contest.
Right, so let me ask you this. I think they get to choose when they get there, right? I'm not maybe they go into a store the oil can over there in Indianapolis and say
oil can. It does look like a factory.
It's what it is. It's Lucas Oil Stadium, right?
Is that an agent thing? Like the agent should be involved in that, like to make that call? I have no idea.
I'm sure that they just go through and they can pick anything they want, I'm guessing. I don't know how it works, but I mean they all got all this top Under Armour gear out there, right? That they're running in. Everything's Under Armour, except I think they get to choose their shoes. Mm. So this guy runs in Nike, beats the time, and doesn't get it. Don't you think if you're a player, you know you're somewhere in the vicinity of getting an island.
You would
think. And you would just, I'll go ahead and wear these Adidas just in case.
No, you know what? I just thought of this. Would you be going to the combine for the island or the fastest
right,
time?
Right. And you know what? Another thing, too, is athletes are very superstitious, too. You know, like it's a big day for those guys. And if, you know, in his mind, he was like, I have to run in Nikes, then I probably would have ran in Nikes, too.
What?
I used to wear the same underwear over and over again, John. You probably did the same thing, right?
Well, no, you really. Did. When the okay, hell did that pop?
We might have to start the show over again now. Again,
what the hell's wrong with Rodney today?
So I guess the question that I ask you guys, and I get it, athletes. You know, and all of us were athletes at some stage in our life.
Yeah.
Do you have any brand loyalty? I mean, are you loyal, other than the Cowboys stuff, right? Other than Cowboys gear. I mean, if you're going to the shoes, are you going to get Nike or?
That is so interesting. Let's broaden the question more by saying, whatever the Cowboys have, do we try to do the same by drinking Miller Lite? Or do we drink Bud Light? Or do we even care about that? I mean, are you a real Cowboy fan if you don't go to that extreme? As to show, hey, you know what? I'm a pure Cowboy fan, and I'll even drink the beer they have.
No, I think you do. I mean, obviously, you've come into that situation. You've drank the beer here on the show, Miller Lite, right? You brought it in.
Right.
I'm not a Miller Lite guy. I'm a Bud Light guy, and that's probably because I'm from the St. Louis market. So I'm more apt to support my, you know, what used to be our local brewer here.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess your loyalties do go out there, and it gets into advertising. I remember that I was all fired up when Jerry Jones signed the Nike contract way back in the day, is what, 94, 95-ish or whatever. And I think he might have been the first one to break away from what everybody
starter?
Was saying. Yeah, it was like Starter or Logo Athletic.
They were all wearing the Starter.
Yeah, and like he that. Went Nike. And I was like, God, this is awesome. I love Nike stuff, you know. And now that's a big deal out there, you know. I believe if you would ever let me bring on Willard Harrell and the Fashion Police for the NFL, I think there's a lot of things that they have to do per NFL contract except like the shoes. I think the shoes are whatever they want to do. I'm not sure if gloves are the same way. I know there's some guys wearing Under Armour gloves. But Nike had the contract. You know, everything was Nike for the last couple of years, and now I think they might have switched to Under Armour.
That Jerry might have.
Jerry was
when he pulled away from. Yeah. I get
Jerry was the maverick when it came to that. He pulled away from the NFL. Apex.
Apex. That's it.
Apex.
Yeah, yeah. They were real popular.
Right.
And they just came and went, didn't they? I mean, you don't even hear about those guys anymore.
No. And I think they wore them in like 94. I know they wore them in the 75th anniversary jersey. And maybe the following year in 95, Wilson was in there a little bit. And then all of a sudden it was like 96. And Jerry pulled out from the NFL contract and said, I'm going to go Pepsi and I'm going to go Nike and I'm going to sign my own deal. And that kind of paved the way for modern NFL, you know, contracts out there. So once again, that's why he's a Hall of Famer, because he is the one that revolutionized marketing and NFL together all as one.
Yeah, I don't think you can honestly say that. Well, again, it's such a private business, though, like Kraft of New England Patriots. I mean, he's got a successful team and his business is successful. And I'm just wondering, but he's never, you know, he hasn't been an innovator of things in the NFL either, has he?
Other than deflating footballs and videotaping practices, no.
Okay, so I see where we're going with this. Yeah. But Jerry's got to be the only NFL owner. That's what I guess Al Davis did it
Al
too.
Davis,
but
right.
Al Davis was shunned by him. I mean, he really, because maybe he had something to do with the AFL too, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah. And that was at a time where, you know, the you didn't want the owners to be kind of out in front of the NFL, so to speak. You know what I mean? They didn't. You know, that's kind of why Al Davis was frowned upon during his time, is that the NFL didn't really care for him. You know, kind of being the showman. Where I think they eventually realized that why wouldn't we want a guy like Jerry Jones marketing himself and the league and the team and all these brands? And you know what I mean? Like, he's been great for the NFL for so many different reasons, you know? And I gotta
disagree with you on one thing, though. I think Al Davis, he was the one that tried to get owners out of the good old boys group there, because they were the ones that were paying nothing to ball players.
Oh, sure.
And they didn't like an owner going out there saying, win, baby, win, when some of these guys that are sitting around this table right here are thinking it's a tax write-off. Before, back then, they weren't really making what they're making now by any means. So I think it was keep the salaries low and all that. I think Al Davis kind of brought a new notion that, hey, you know what, you got to pay to win, and my motto here is let's win, baby, or something like that, wasn't it?
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby.
Right.
So, you know, in all fairness, I think Al Davis was on that sense too.
Yeah. Oh, sure. No, absolutely, yeah. But I think that's why he was, you know, received the backlash, because he was kind of the maverick when it came to speaking out on that stuff.
Hey, but Al Davis was cool as the other side of the pillow, man. I used to watch him when the Raiders came into play, St. Louis, and walked underneath the tunnel, man. He was in his like terry cloth jumpsuit, you know, jewelry out.
I wonder why they haven't made a movie about him.
Oh, I'm sure it's coming.
Yeah, anyone that can rock the church lady like little glasses with the little attachment to it, you're all right, my buddy.
He was cool. He had the bling,
slicked hair back.
Man, awesome dude there. But just to interject real quick. The headline, Adidas won't give island to Washington Huskies John Ross after record-setting 40 time. So, once again, I'm telling you, if you're close to getting that 40 record, I'm wearing Adidas shoes for no other reason, right?
Okay. So, superstition, you're after island, or I'm trying to get that 4.2. Maybe Nike's offering a better shoe. You're still going to go with Adidas?
Well, if that's the case, I'm calling Nike and saying, hey, I'm about ready to break the record. You might want to come up with like something a little bit better than an island for me.
Because even when Tiger had the Nikes, I mean, there were people in the pros that were saying, I can't swing with these. There's no way I could swing with this.
No, that's true. I don't think he ever hit with a Nike driver. I think he did switch the clubs.
Right,
the irons.
I'm talking irons, and there were a lot of big timers that tried to go to the Nike, and they just had a miserable time. And there were a lot of advertisement to follow them if it went successful. So you know, maybe that's not the answer either. No.
And that is just amazing, and we can get into this all day long, just how advertising works, whether it's conscious or, you know, subconscious or subliminal or whatever it is, how these companies, when they get somebody like that, that all of a sudden, boom, it takes off. So, I mean, you saw it with it, probably Jordan was the revolutionary there, you know, comes out with the Air Jordan shoes. And the next thing you know, I mean, what are we on, Air Jordan 40s or something like that? Crazy?
Yeah. You know what, though? Let's switch gears a little bit here, and let's talk about, you're talking big timers now. I mean, Jordan, MJ, everyone knows MJ. Can we get somewhat of some big name like that, not that big, of course, into that Dallas defense? Because right now we've established that it's a solid defense, but there's not one player in that defense that's a Charles Haley, that's someone that demands attention in there. Well, maybe I'm just shooting too high now, but we need one superstar that can cast solid players all around them.
Okay, so is that superstar? Is that, I mean, are you looking for him on a Revis Island type? Are you looking for a Troy Polamalu safety? Are you looking for a Urlacher linebacker? Are you looking for somebody that is Haley on the edge or a?
No,
what are you looking for?
I think I was. Maybe, I mean, he's free agent this year, I think. Rodney, check it out. But like Peppers 3 years ago to this defense would be that Charles Haley part that was missing to that solid Cowboy defense back then when they won the Super Bowl.
No, I get it.
Is he out there?
He is out there. He is available, yeah. I mean, he's going to be pretty high priced, I think, at this point. And I mean, unless he is on the twilight of his career, maybe he'll be willing to do something a little bit different. But he's obviously been around a very long time.
And I'm hearing from you guys out there with we posted on our Facebook site, and I disagree, and I don't want to get into an argument with you guys on the post and all that. But DeMarcus Ware is not our answer. And for you guys out there, I know it's your heart talking, but this guy's not going to be anything but just a figure there that we're going to say, oh, he was once one of our generals. That ain't going to cut it, boys.
No, we're not. Back to your point just a minute ago about a difference maker. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a true difference maker out there on the free agent market, you know, in that sense of like the transcendent, you know, player on defense.
Right.
But there are some names out there that you may not, you know, you may not have heard of necessarily, but those are the kind of players that's what's available to us this offseason. There's not really, you know, there's J.J. Watt's not just sitting out there in his prime waiting, you know, to come play or anything. So, you know, there are names out there, but, you know, you have to be realistic about what we're really going to get in return.
Okay.
And it goes into the whole, the NFL's a little bit, I won't say goofy, but the players don't seem to get hit free agency during their prime years all that many times. Most of the time, it's like they'll either lock them down or they have that franchise tag out there if they can't come to an agreement.
Steve, is that the second contract look or the third contract look?
I would think it would be the second and the third. And then when you get into, you know, most of the time, second and third, because usually they're getting some sort of, you know, three-year deal or something in there. And then we're able to pick up, I mean, you look at, I just mentioned it, Revis. He's on the back end of his career available. You know, you got Ware on the back end of his career. I mean, for all intents and purposes, these guys have Hall of Fame careers.
Well, you know, hypothetical
Peppers,
question.
Those guys.
He just brought up someone. He just brought up a DB that may not be able to cover anymore. He's not a good corner. Now, we got a guy in our backfield, a safety, not backfield, but back there, the deep safety. Well, that's Church. Church is going to be demanding, I'd say, about $10 million. Because if you got that guy up in Kansas City,
Barry,
he's going to get 12 or 13. Our Church is going to be wanting from 2.3 or 2.4 all the way to 10. That's what his agent's going to bring to the table, knowing he's not going to get the 10, but they're realistically shooting for the 8. 8 being a little too much still. And when you can get Revis, that said, I can't cover anyone in the corner spot anymore, but guess what? I can be a hell of a safety. At least something to look at. Because Revis isn't going to demand the world because he's going to a new position. I guarantee we could probably pick him up for 2.5 or something.
Isn't with his off-the-field issues, though, most recently, or are we going to be able to make that signing? Just because he may end up with a
suspension. Was it that big of a deal, Steve-O? What he did? I mean, I don't really even think it was stressed on that team.
No, of course, and that's true. I'm just saying, if you sign him, though, that you're signing him knowing that you never know, right? It still could come down as a suspension somewhere down the line.
Well, if something does go down with that, that is all me. I know he got Watt.
Yeah,
on the trade talk rumors and all that. I'm saying Revis would be a great fit for us to have back there, not as a corner. I got to keep this. Telling people that we're not doing the corner stuff anymore with him, but as a safety back there, I think he's intelligent enough, and he knows when something's going to go down. He'll be right on top of it.
See, and maybe my perception of him is wrong. I don't see him as a big hitter, though. I saw him as a great cover corner. I don't see him as someone that's willing to come across the middle and knock somebody's head off.
With NFL now, I'm looking more of a safety being finessed, because those type of hitters now, you're costing the team 15 yards on top of what
the big hits are still available.
You're right. Ed Reed nowadays, if he was in the league as a rookie coming through, I mean, you're talking about getting fined probably
Ronnie Lott would have quit the NFL with all the fines.
Yeah, but let me bring up something else, though, too. So, okay, let's say, assuming that the big hits have been taken out of the game, as we know, that has been diminished. However, the safeties still have to tackle. They have to be sure tacklers because they help you out on the run so much. You know, you can't, and I don't know if Revis is that.
Do you want a DB that can tackle, or you want him to defend the ball?
Because you said you wanted him as a safety.
Yeah, but if he tackles, that means they've already caught the ball. I think his type of play right now is to assist the corners and all that, and I think it's a great mold, but I don't know.
I'm with Rodney. I just don't see Revis coming up and being a run stopper, and a lot of times that guy's got to come up in the box and fill that gap.
You'd use him for that type of purpose, though. Mm-hmm. On third down and 12 or something like that, you know he's going to be the captain out there leading those – I don't know. That's just me.
Well, you know, and that gets into, I mean, what do we got? Free agent starts in a week, 4 days. What do we got? We're at the 5th, 6th?
3 days away.
March
9th, right?
So March 9th, we got the start of free agency. And I think you're going to start seeing a lot. Typically, historically, there's a lot of signings early. There's been a lot of, what do they call that, backroom talk.
Things have already in place and waiting for the clock to turn over, and then they can actually put pen to paper and get it done. Yeah,
right. And that'll be exciting. I mean, we're going through the combine, and we haven't even touched on that other than John Ross not getting the island out there. But, you know, as we go through the combine, I'm sitting there watching it, kind of nerdish a little bit off and on, but have you guys gotten into looking at any of that at all? And
I watched a little bit, but not, I'll be honest with you, not a lot.
I've been watching it, and they all look impressive. I mean, right now there's not anything to me that's been really flashy. To my point, I think we could get some great picks out there, because there's plenty of them that were working out, and they all looked damn good to me this time around. I mean, they looked all stable. They didn't look like there were any standouts that were going to take over the NFL.
Right.
Except for our guy owning an island. That's what I should do. If I'm a scout, give me the one that's got an island.
Right.
Which one's the one that owns the island now?
Well, the funny thing is that they're talking about, you know, the measurements of the broad jump, what I caught this morning on there. And there's, you know, they already have like 11 guys that have jumped over 11 feet, which, you know, equals the high water mark for any time since they've been doing it. And they're talking about there might be upwards of 17, 18 guys by the time it's done, which would equate more than the previous 3 years. So you're getting these athletes that not only are bigger, faster, stronger. I mean, we can tell that from our generation of playing ball.
What the hell's that jumping all about, though?
Just athleticism.
No, the one that they knock the chip.
The vertical.
Okay, yeah, vertical. What's that for?
The vertical. It's athleticism.
Yeah,
they're looking.
Bob, we're gonna need this one because he can go 52 inches, and we need that kick.
You can say that about the entire combine, though.
I can see the shuttle run. I can see them
right
going back and
again.
Forth.
Those things all matter, but like, you know, they're not playing football out there,
right? So
they're exercising well.
But what they're doing is they all have game tape on these guys, and in order to slot them on their draft board, they have to look at some sort of measurables,
right?
Okay, you can see game, right? You can see game action. That's all available. They're going to get what's called these measurables to compare them against each other. So take, for instance, if you're looking at a quarterback and you want to run an athletic style offense, and this guy's running, you got Tom Brady, bad example, probably running 7 seconds, and you got Dak Prescott running 4.6, you know, you're looking
right
at Prescott, let's go with him.
I got it.
So, and then you have the immeasurables, which they get, you know, from a standpoint of doing the A, are they a winner? B, how do they interview? C, what have you seen in their past? And they, you know, I mean, you saw the movie Draft Day.
This is one of the questions they ask for the whole psychological thing. I want to hear your answer on this.
We never did do a Wunderlich test. We got to do that.
We'll find out. All right. We'll get that thing going.
That is right.
But how many animals did he have on the ark?
Two of each?
Yeah.
Two of each? How many?
Yeah, two of each, right?
Both you guys failed because no one never had a goddamn ark. He had, it was Moses.
Oh.
They do that.
Are you talking Moses? How many did Moses? Because it was Noah's Ark, right?
No, I said, God damn it. I messed that up. I meant to say Moses.
Right.
How many? Jesus Christ.
I believe Moses part of the Red Sea.
All right. That was all me then. I screwed up. God, I was going to make a great point and everything.
This religion segment is brought to you by Jono.
First Baptist Church, right down the block. You can't miss it.
Getting trolled hard for that one.
Yeah,
I know that one's gonna hurt.
That one's gonna sting for it.
Where's our guy? Can he cut that part?
No, he
won't cut that one.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, all right, forget it. I meant to say Moses, and then you're saying two, and then I go, you both failed. It's supposed to be Noah. That's what I'm talking about.
You sly dog, you.
Yeah, well, last laugh's on me.
You're a terrible joke teller, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm horrible, dude. It's happened before that I've sat down, at a table, we've been, there's bottlenecks all over the place, and now something comes in me. Tell the joke, and something else comes in me. You're gonna forget the punchline. You know that.
Spotlight comes on,
and the other side goes, "You're gonna do well. Just get it out there." So then I give the whole thing, and then the punchline, the thing comes back in me. I told you, you're gonna forget.
So. You know what it is you might have taken a couple extra hits to the head because your mouth works much faster than your brain most of the time.
I'm saying I'm 16 years football, man. I tell you, it's rough. And what else is rough is, on a serious note, is what's happening with Tony Dorsett with CTE. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these players are getting that, and it's very destructive.
Right. Did I ever tell you the story that I had heard a couple years ago? For those folks that don't know, I'm big in the sports memorabilia, so I will go to what's called the National Show. You know, every other year it's in Chicago, so an easy drive up. I happened to be talking to an auction house one time about they had some Dorsett stuff on display. You know, obviously you just get drawn to it. Like, wow, man, that's awesome. You know, how'd you get this? And the guy goes, funny story. You know, occasionally we get contacted by athletes that are interested in, you know, they have all this quote-unquote junk. I mean, if you guys got to see the Brian Bosworth special 30 for 30, he was in a storage unit.
Oh, I seen that.
Right? And he has all this stuff in there.
Yeah, you're right.
And he goes, all these athletes are the same way. Ozzie Smith had the same thing. Tons of stuff in a storage unit. Well, eventually you just get tired of paying the $100 a month for it, and it's just sitting there. Let's cash it out. So they go over to Dorsett's house. They meet him. And Tony's bringing stuff out to him, and they're talking about what it is, where it's from, the provenance on it, how much he would like out of, you know, to get out of it, and so forth and so on, to go into auction. And he said he got like three quarters away through the day, everything's going great, and then all of a sudden they asked him a question, and he just totally flipped out and lost his mind. Started
as in violent?
As in being very belligerent towards them, and basically accused them of trying to steal his stuff and everything
poor
like
guy,
that,
man.
And kicked him out of the house. So they went back to their hotel.
That was my favorite player, man.
Oh, mine too. And then all of a sudden, like 4 hours later, they get a phone call from Tony Dorsett, and he's, hey, what's going on, Tony? He goes, well, did you guys not like any of the stuff? And they go, what do you mean? They're like, well, you guys didn't take any. I thought we were, you know, doing this auction.
And they forget that whole side?
He forgot the whole thing of what was going on. So they talked to him a little bit more and said, oh, no, we called it a day. We'll be back tomorrow. And they ended up working a deal out. But this stuff is so scary.
Yeah.
This CTE and these guys that got hit. Now, you know what? I don't feel... Now that there's some attention drawn to it, I know that Rydell and Schutt and Rawlings, these people that make the helmets, have really made strides as far as protections. But these guys, if you watch Jim Brown and you watch Earl Campbell and you watch Dorsett.
Jim Brown is not bad.
Well, he retired early.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but he knew something was going to happen.
Sure.
I mean, he could have been in real bad shape. But
right?
I think Jim Brown still functions
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
yeah,
he
oh,
does.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but
guys like Tony D, I would never have fathomed that. I mean, these guys go through that.
Right. And all of a sudden, you start looking at it, you're like, man, you know, are we going to have another Junior Seau on our hands? And hopefully they're able to get those advances.
Remember Mike Webster?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a lot of stories that, you know, keep coming up over and over again. There's Steve Gleason documentary. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet or not. It's very sobering to watch something like that, to see him, you know.
Well, they had the one of it was just on Bryant Gumbel's HBO Sports, Real Sports.
Real Sports, yeah.
They just had the guy that was diagnosed with ALS from basically the head trauma, the CTE's causing it, and obviously donated his brain to science, and the doctor cut in it. And the thing they left him with, I mean, this guy deteriorated in a couple of years right in front, a young man in his 40s.
Kids still in
high school. His son, matter of fact, just won a national championship for Clemson with Dabo Sweeney. They were teammates.
Buddies, yeah.
Teammates. But the doctor studying his brain is like, this is the worst I've ever seen. And I guess, you know, maybe I don't okay, wide receivers, one thing. But you look at these guys that are on the line that are crashing their helmets every time. Now, granted, it's probably not with the force that a Junior Seau did or our buddy Daryl Johnston coming through the line.
Bro, anytime these guys are hitting, forget the names. Forget a Junior. There's some impact going on there. There's a collision. There's a violent collision. I played football in college. My roommate, he's a local kid from Altoff. I'll tell you guys, his first name was Dan. And he told me, he goes, I'm going back home. And I go, dude, you're moving up the depth chart. You're really doing good right now. He goes, I just can't handle. I'm not doing good, and all this. And he went home and put a shotgun to his mouth, blew his head off. And you know, to this very day, I think of the way we talked to him, and you knew something wasn't right there sometimes. And this is high school to college, and this doesn't just happen with age, too. I mean, this is affecting our young kids as well.
Well, and that gets into the whole talk of, I know that the general population believes that, you know, when you're an NFL athlete, you're making million, you're set. Why would? Yeah, come on, bud. You're gonna choose NFL over take care of your family because you're making millions.
Your mama raised you.
But the fact of the matter is, a large majority of these guys don't make enough money to live a life. Is the health risk starting at an early age playing football through the NFL, if you're going to be in the NFL for 4 years or 5 years and done, and you're never going to get that multi-million-dollar, multi-year contract, is it worth it? And I think that's what the NFL's wrestling around with a lot right now.
Well, that's why you're seeing right now all these free agents right now looking for that big buck. This is their last contract negotiation. I guarantee you told me Julius Peppers was out there. This is his last go. I don't think you'll see another contract with another team. I think this is where he wants to, wherever this contract takes him, that's where he's going to end up.
And there's a lot of guys on that list in that same category. Chris Long, Dwight Freeney's been around forever. You know, Mario Williams. You know, these guys have been around a while. So these are their last opportunities.
They're wanting that one last contract. And I don't know, for our kids that, as me growing up, I had a Randy White on my wall. I had a Ed Jones. I had a Tony D on my wall. And you know what? Those were guys that went with the team for years and years. And they were part of the Dallas Cowboys. And that's when you've seen a lot more loyalty towards teams. But now with the hitting, with the stuff that they know, you know what? Just give me that contract. I'll take that contract. I'll take a signing bonus too. I'll see what I could do. Hopefully I'll be around next contract, but if I'm not, I got a good healthy contract to pay that $400,000 or $500,000 house.
Right. What do you see? I mean, when I look at things, and I kind of look at, there's an evolution of sports that's going to happen. We're starting to see it in soccer, where they've basically taken out heading the ball through a certain age, whatever that might be, you know, just to take that, because soccer players are the same way. Every time they head the ball, I mean, it's a brain trauma there.
Just moving around.
Right. It just rattling, especially at a young age. And then you get into, you know, youth football. And I put my son in football for 1 year.
I would never take him out.
At 6U.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could realistically see, based off of how things are getting bigger, faster, stronger, that there's going to be a big movement towards 7-on-7. No, but 7-on-7 or flag football, something
that's,
to that, promote
that's not football.
Something to promote athleticism.
But you're already seeing the numbers of contact NFL youth football leagues are diminishing every year, and they have been for the last five years.
I don't know if I'm for that either.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
have equipment that's going to protect these ball players more. I'm not at all saying
stop playing the game. And that's something that's happening. But even my son this year, who's in eighth grade, he got a concussion in seventh grade football, so he didn't play. He played 6U, then we did flag football for a couple years, and then sat out just because of, you know, A, he wasn't ready to play athletically to the level that I know some kids are out there. So we sat him out. So seventh grade, he's a running back. He gets a concussion. We shut him down for the year. You're done, right? And he had symptoms, and he probably still has some stuff that lingers around. I mean, it was bad. So this year, he goes out to play, and we, you know, medically cleared and everything. So I went out and bought him a different helmet that was the highest rated, because the ones that they're giving out to middle school are what's considered.
Right.
I think University of Virginia did has all the studies on the helmets. They were 3A out of 5. So I went out and bought him a Zenith helmet, which is a 5-star rated helmet, and, you know, had to write a letter in the athletic director and a principal saying, hey, I want this approved, and yeah, no problem. But still, you know, I'm spending money to get him better equipment to keep him safe. And I mean, I just really think that either the technology is going to have to get substantially better to keep the kids safe, or you're going to start seeing fewer and fewer play, which, and I'm going to tie this in here, baseball right now at the professional level has more talent than it's ever had, that, you know, players that are 24 and under. And I think that has a lot to do with these kids that when they get into high school and they have a choice, you know, to go to college, am I going to go the baseball route or I'm going to go the football route, are going to start deciding, I'm going to go baseball, I'm going to go basketball, I'm going to get away from the contact sport that might not be there, might not, at the end of the day, might kill me.
Well, I think that's a little too extreme. I'm just saying all this because I'm saying we need to get people like Tony D help, one, and two, we need to focus in on these helmets. I know during my high school, there wasn't much emphasis put on it, Rodney. They told me if you don't have enough padding in the helmet, which I didn't, even have a water helmet, they gave me a knee pad, a fresh knee pad, and they said, put it in your helmet. That's another layer of padding.
Wow.
And that's insane.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, well, and this is going to get into the next thing. I'll tee this one up for you because I know that there's some businesses around Illinois and around the country now that are you going to see the NFL change its stance on medical marijuana in order to ease some of these symptoms out there that these guys are dealing with when it comes to head trauma or any ailment that is a result of football and the contact sport. I mean, we're dealing with a lot of shit here.
Yeah, you got that right. You got that right.
No, I think they probably will ease on it as states ease on it, you know, as more states legalize it. And you know, I don't think they're going to be first to the ballot box to do it, but I think they will.
Well, we just saw Zeke go through it up in Seattle, right? They go up there Seattle to play, and he goes into a marijuana, legal marijuana shop, dispensary, just to check it out. Nothing bought from what reports are.
It is a sight to go into one of these and just see everything out there, and it's perfectly legal. So I definitely can see where he would want to see that, because I would definitely like to see that as well, only for just watching and
informational purposes.
I would like to send that pic to you guys sometime.
I appreciate that.
So that's what I'm saying about Tony D. You know, God bless him. There's no time or anything on this, right? I mean, the guy lives out his normal life. It tries to. Is there?
Well, I, the fact of the matter is if it kicks into ALS, then all of a sudden you're going to start seeing a deterioration fairly rapidly.
All right.
And there's no cure for that. So at this point, so there's going to have to
We got a doctor. I didn't know all this.
Well, I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
You've used that before.
It's too many. You went to the well too many times on that one.
Did I?
I think that's your third time. You're getting close to the Richie zone.
Well, hey, we're trying. Not for long. We're trying to grab sponsors, so you're trying to throw out as many. We got Miller Lite. We got Budweiser. We got, what do we got? Medical marijuana out there, Holiday Inn Express.
We need casinos.
Yeah, Nike, Adidas. We've got a lot of out
casino,
there. So if you, hey, listen, if you're a decision maker at one of these big companies and you're listening to the Cowboys podcast and you're a subscriber and you want in on the ground floor, show us some love. Throw some money our way for a little advertisement.
Jerry Lewis over here. I love it. I love it. Way to go, though. But our numbers are up. People love our show. It's not. What's so good about our cowboy show is we keep it to the cowboy, but yet we're not robots. You know, we like to show you guys, hey, we're 3-4 guys sitting around the bar with you guys just having a great conversation.
Right. Well, that's a funny thing. I think it was on NFL Network or somebody.
We were on NFL Network?
No. Oh. Somebody was on NFL Network, and they were bringing on whoever with the Cowboys. It might have been Jason Garrett. It might have been somebody else. And they go, yeah, we're going to talk about Dak Prescott, and we're going to go back to that well and talk about Tony Romo. You know, everything's surrounded around Tony Romo, and I try to avoid that. Although Jerry Jones came out and said it's not beyond keeping him this year, which is the thing I said way back in the beginning.
There's no way that's going to happen. They're already talking about a draft pick for late round, the 7th possibly, looking at a Cowboy QB. So, you know, I just don't think so. I don't think it's right for.
I still don't think so either. But
Tony will ever be back up. I'd like to know his main concerns right now. Jerry kind of leaked out, and that was he's thinking about defensive end and wideouts. He's saying that that should be our focus.
Really?
Now this is Jerry talking, not Steve-O.
Well.
The other Steve-O.
Jerry, I'm sure, is going to try to work out some deal for Johnny Manziel, who's making a comeback.
He loves him. He's got an 8x10 pick of him.
Jerry likes the flash. He likes the flashy defensive end, the shiny new car, the wide receiver. It may not be the most, you know, practical pick whenever it comes down to it. So I'm not surprised he said he wanted a defensive end and wide receiver.
He likes guys that can dance.
That's right.
He wants them to be able to get a big sack or an interception or a touchdown, a reception, and do a little dance, a little flair there, right?
He likes the flair.
Does like the flair. So if that's the case, and we'll have to get into the old.
Well, this is where that Peppers comes in very interesting here.
Well, yeah, it's all the draft is going to depend on what we can do in free agency first and see where the chips fall there.
Well, I'm hearing from everyone we just don't care about free agency.
Well, we may not because we don't, you know, where's the money to spend?
Where's the value out of free agency right now?
Well, yeah. I do not mind making everything happen within, growing organic, you might say. But I definitely think you need one big free agent in here. This is what I brought up earlier. And I think, I like it or not, I think Peppers would be that good of a defensive end that we could definitely use productively.
It might help bridge a gap if we got him for a year or two, I guess, until maybe a younger defensive end that we drafted can be ready.
Did you guys know that we are 26 average?
Average age?
Average age is 26. So it'd be ideal for Peppers to come in and start telling the kids this is what it's all about. This is how you do it. That's how Haley did it.
Yeah, but at 26, you're right there in the middle of the pack. At 28, you're old.
At 28 is perfect.
No, 28-year-old.
Oh, no.
24, you're young.
28 is the prime age for these athletes here.
Yeah, well, maybe for basketball and baseball and some other. I don't know about the
football.
NFL.
You're already made it past your life expectancy.
Then how are we signing these guys? Then why would we sign these guys? We got Church, we got Carr, these guys are like late 20s right now.
I know, but do any of those really?
Yeah, but nobody's been signed either.
Okay, not excited. Yet, but Church is demanding Well, like I said, maybe around $10 million he'll be asking, and he's probably going to get six or seven from someone out there, maybe Jacksonville. They're going to know that his age, he's going to be like 31, 32 on the next contract, the ending of that next contract.
Right.
I mean, if he's 29 right now, or he's not, he may be 28. I know Carr's 29.
Right. I don't know. I'm not huge on Peppers just because he's been phenomenal. He's been great. He's had a Hall of Fame career. But is he? If we sign him, is this it though? Like, do we sign him and then he has literally nothing left in the tank, and then we're kind of stuck with him? Like, that's always the risk of taking a guy on at his age.
Well, yeah, there's no question
his time
about
in his career.
That. Yeah, no question about that. It's just. Do you hope to get that 1 year? Because right now we're playing for that 1 year.
Right.
This coming year, we are favored. I mean, we say that every damn time too. But you may need that one leader on defense that could do something special. All of a sudden, and boom, you got things going. You got something over there, Steve.
Yeah, I just typed it in the computer box.
Right.
Okay. So in 2016, the Rams were the youngest team. At 25 years of age.
Not a segment without our beloved Rams, folks. All right, go on.
You ready for this one? You know who the oldest team in the league was? The Falcons at 27.08. And we're sitting there right in the middle at 26. So, like, even sight unseen.
So they're saying 27's old?
27's old. If you're 28...
Well, then why are these guys... Why are they being considered for that contract?
It's the average age, because remember that most of the guys are coming out, they're contributing for only a couple of years, and then they're out of the league because somebody, a newer toy, is in at a cheaper pay scale.
Yeah, that's
okay?
true, too.
Only
yeah,
your yeah. top-end free yeah. agents, only your top-end guys are going to get paid and get those contracts. So that's really the difference, and a lot of those are in, a lot of that's in the quarterbacks. You know, you got a couple of key players on your team that are going to probably take up 60% of your payroll. Then the rest of it's going to be made up of guys that are rookies or second year in or undrafted free agents that you sign, whatever it might be. So that's why, when you're sitting right there at 26, you're right on the precipice of being old.
Right. Well, there's always, there's always someone younger and faster, right? I mean, they're looked at as a commodity. If you're just kind of middle of the pack kind of player, you're a dime a dozen. Why not take the younger one then and try to develop that one rather than keeping you at the age of 26, 27, 28?
Right, and that's where these guys don't have long careers. They're not, unlike baseball, who you're going to get drafted usually at age 18, right. Maybe at 21 at the latest, okay? And you're going to spend a couple of years in the system, and you're going to get your, it's your fifth or sixth year, whatever the CBA is there. You become your first contract free agent, and then all of a sudden you're right there in your probably mid-20s, and you're catching a big contract. And then it's guaranteed money, too.
Okay, then that leads me to the next question. Now, Free, I think Free's going to be, or is he even, I think he is a free agent, isn't he, fellas?
I believe so.
Okay, why, we got Larry as a free agent, too, right now. Why not sign Larry and move him to tackle and say goodbye to Free?
I would be fine with that. That would be more, does Larry want to do that, and is he capable of? We assume so, but we're not there on a day-to-day basis, so maybe they see something that we don't. But yeah, I would be all in favor of that for sure,
because then you can move Collins to that guard spot, move Larry to that tackle spot, and everyone's hunky-dory again, and we've got a hell of offensive line then.
I'm trying to look it up on this computer box. I'm not sure he is a free agent.
Okay, then drop him then. Cut him. Cut Free
because
free
he
up
just he just restructured in last October during the bye week. So
right.
he's unrestricted.
I don't want to sign him
in 2018.
I don't want to sign him. No offense, Free. If you ever want to get on my show, that's fine. But I just don't want to sign Free. And that means I got to lose Larry.
Here's the deal. He's a big hit to you. I mean, his base salary 2017 is going to be $5 million, up from $2 million last year. And then he has a signing bonus of 1.5 and a restructure bonus of $1 million. So his total cap hits 7.5 this year. So the dead cap on it's 2.5.
That's not – okay, dead cap is 2.5. That 7 is everything included.
Correct.
All right. So, yeah, I definitely could work with that.
Yeah, I most years, yes, but I feel like they don't – there's not a lot of wiggle room in there. In their cap right now. I don't think that, even if it's only 2.5, I still don't think that they can.
If they release them, though, like they're going to with our man TR. TR, I don't even want to say his name because that leads to a whole 30, 40-minute discussion, but Tony Romo. there were a lot of plays this year that just frustrated me with him. And you know what? I could possibly have the best upcoming quarterback. Do I really want him to go through what the last quarterback did? He went through hell back there, Tony Romo. And I just want that offensive line, yes, say the word, galvanized. We want that offensive line really galvanized. And I think when we bring Larry to the right tackle there, I think right now then we would have a nice, strong O-line instead of just going out to back to the – drawing board at the draft, and I know they're going to pick up a couple offensive linemen, but now I'm telling you, we don't need offensive linemen anymore. Just sign a free agent there, Larry. Move Collins that guard spot. I think everything will be fine, and on the draft, focus in on the defensive ends and possibly some cornerbacks.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you think that, and I don't know, but do you think Larry wants to go to the right side, or do you think that he values himself enough where he's like, no, I want to be a left tackle because left tackles get paid?
Well, now that's a great question. I thought the right tackles were the ones that demanded more.
Left tackle. No, left tackle.
Left, okay.
Generally speaking, because that's your quarterback's blind side if they are right-handed, which most are.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, your left tackle is the one that's he's usually the breadwinner of the offensive line, typically.
And the next question, he's going to probably bring up, his agent's going to bring up, I want to be paid tackle money then.
Right.
Not guard money anymore.
Right.
So tackle money is a little bit more expensive and going to the left side. Well, that's a great call. Well, all right, Free, you're back on the team.
We need you still.
Oh, we love you, babe. Just void out that last 4 minutes.
It was just a hypothetical. Yeah, we didn't actually mean it.
Hey, did you say J.J. Watt's coming to the Cowboys for Tony Romo? Throw some pepper on the trail there. Get people off of you a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, man. No kidding. But, yeah, it's there's going to be – by the time we do the show next week – there is going to be an ass ton of movement in free agency. I think you're going to start seeing not only that, I think you'll start seeing Mel Kiper come out with updated draft, mock draft scenarios based off who signed where and the needs that are going. I think they had still Cowboys looking at a cornerback late in the first round. So, you know, if all of a sudden – you get one or two of the free agents signed or, you know, two of your guys don't go somewhere else and they want to come back and be part of a championship, well, then, all you know, he might switch that to, you know, being a defensive end. So I know there's a lot of guys out there that are begging Jerry Jones to, you know, trade up, take me or make sure I'm there. So there's a lot of talk out there amongst these college kids coming out, these potential draftees that they want to play for the Dallas Cowboys, which is a great sign.
Of course. I mean, every time the Cowboys come into a town, my God, man.
Yeah, but you haven't seen that sort of chatter out of the draft class in years
right
now.
You're
and now
so
all of a sudden,
right.
I know Deshaun Watson's come out and said that I want Jerry Jones to sign me. Who's this beast?
From Texas A&M?
Yeah, this kid's at 6'7". Like I said, he runs like 2.5 seconds for the 100-yard dash.
Yeah,
it's crazy. So
it is, and you're right about that. How do they get the balls to be that vocal? They're just trying to get onto the team right now, right?
Yeah,
you keep sliding down that draft. That's more money you're losing. So you got to understand where the hell the Cowboys are.
Yeah, they're down. They're down there.
So why? Why would you say? Well, I want the Cowboys to pick me. I'd want to say that I want Cleveland to pick me. I know I'm not going to get picked by Cleveland, but I want Cleveland to pick me.
Are they going to take another quarterback one overall?
I don't know if they'll even keep that pick.
I thought they were trying to get Garoppolo figured out.
No, Garoppolo's staying up there, and
that's official now.
Yeah, I mean, it's the word out of Gillette. That he's staying. Right. So, you know, they're sitting in a pretty good situation. They got a good backup. They'll pay him a little bit of money and see what happens. But I don't see – I mean, if Cleveland takes another quarterback, is that just where quarterbacks go to die?
It's where anyone goes to die. I mean, the franchise is terrible.
What would you take then?
I don't know.
If you're Cleveland.
If you're Cleveland,
There's not one player that's going to save you.
Joe Thomas up there right as their left tackle. I mean, he's their 11-time Pro Bowler. I mean, they got the cornerstone up there of what they needed, but they've never been able to get that next player. They have a Hall of Fame left tackle and never been able to capitalize with anybody else.
Well, now if that was Jerry and Steve, they would build around that guy. They would keep building.
I mean, even the Rams had success with a good left tackle and won a Super Bowl.
I have no idea what the hell he's doing with that thumb. What is that orange?
Well,
what are you doing?
I don't know. I got a flashlight over here. Right. It's dark in here.
All right. Okay. Well, hey, folks, if you're interested on our show and what it's all about, we go to lineupmedia.fm. It's got some great shows, whatever you guys want to listen to. And if you want to go to our Cowboys podcast, cowboyspodcast.com, right?
That's correct.
That's right. That's what it says in the yearbook, Jim. You can definitely go to our site at cowboyspodcast.com, and on your right-hand side, you'll see Amazon. Click on Amazon, shop away, and we get a little love back. And I know there's a lot of fans out there that listen to the show, and we could sure use you to click away on Amazon.
So I was going to tease something else up here that I had in my notes.
Your notes.
Hold on a second. Let me check mine real quick.
Can you guys go to page 6 of our of our notes here so we can get on the same page here?
Yeah, hang on. All right.
Based off of today's sports, you got basketball that's signing all sorts of international talent, soccer, hockey, baseball. Where's the international talent for football?
No one else.
They
really
love
plays
the
it,
game,
though,
man. Yeah, everywhere they love to watch it. They love to play it. I don't know why the NFL. That's horrible marketing.
Outside of left-footed Australian kickers, and I know you love my left-footed punters. But where are all the foreign players? I mean, is there nobody else out there that's, you know, I mean, you would have thought that your Ruskies or the Germans or something would be able to put a big enough body over here.
I guarantee you.
I just don't think they play it as children and grow up with it at all. So
I don't think the NFL has capitalized with Europe, South America, and they love football down in South America too. They're starting to play it in Japan left and right. I think that it's just something that hasn't been explored with by the NFL. And shame on, you know, our big guys in the NFL, the owners that are just thinking about themselves right now. But if we bring in international down the line, guys, you guys are going to make much more money than what you're making now.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is you're sitting there when you look at, you know, track and field or, you know, I mean, these people.
What the hell watches track and field?
Well, I mean, I happen to have a daughter that runs it, so I, you know, get involved.
Yeah, but
in
you don't turn it on TV and
sure
sit
I do.
There. Oh.
Track and field, tennis.
How boring can
golf,
that be?
It's every sport out there across the board is.
You watch figure skating too, don't you?
You know, if there's a Jeff Gillooly involved, I'll watch a little figure skating.
Okay.
But what I'm saying
there's
is
not an international presence.
There's no international presence, and you would think that there would need to be some way, shape,
or
form.
Why can't they bring back the roller derby? I used to love that. Late night, on the weekend night. God, I'd put in some popcorn, and we're watching the Freebirds or the T-Birds take on the
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know what?
they were
watch out for the Malachi
roller skaters.
Watch out for the Malachi crunch. Because
there it is.
Pinky Tuscadero was dangerous. She was hell on wheels.
How old are you two? Roller derby.
That was great stuff, man. Well, anyway, hey, we're getting about that time.
You guys went to the sock hop afterwards or what? Is that how that goes?
We used to go to this place, Woolworth, and there was an ice cream place there, too.
My little town did have a Woolworth for like 3 years.
God damn, those were the days, man. Woolworth on Christmas. You boys, I tell you what, that's where it was at. Woolworth at Christmas time.
Hey,
but roller derby was fine. I can't believe you didn't bring that up.
Well, I mean, that wasn't much of an international presence. I didn't see the Tagahaki Cyclones out there or something like that.
Let's stick to football, okay? Enough with your roller derby. I want to know, how do we get these guys on board here, though? Europe loved it. I mean, they were watching football left and right. Frankfurt, whatever they were called, the Franas.
I don't know, but I mean, they are ate up with it over in England, in London. I mean, when we were over there for the international series,
of course.
I mean, I think they're doing. They did
France, Belgium,
four games,
Germany.
But you know what it is? Honestly, I think soccer as a sport that they play has a much greater presence, right? They love to watch football. I love to watch movies, but I can't act.
Cut it out.
Right? I love to do a lot of things,
but
I
watch it. The way you were flipping that switch when we had to
edit. Maybe acting was
here's the deal. There's no room for David Beckham in American football. He's 5'2", 103 pounds. You know,
he's 5 foot two.
He's like 5'7".
Okay, 5'7".
He's a diminutive little man.
I didn't know you were
man.
Will Chamberlain.
Well, I am compared to him.
He's not 5'7".
He's 5'7". Look up the official height of David.
He's probably 5'9". The guy's a good-looking guy.
Well, I know, but he's small. You can only have so many Danny Amendolas and you know, Chris Hogan's out there in the NFL.
Beasley, sir. Beasley. That's our guy. I don't know what show
I
you're
love
part
the
of.
Bees. I
but,
love them.
But where are, you know, soccer, those guys aren't playing.
All
there's
right,
no
but
6
they
foot
have big
six,
guys in that country,
pounds.
Too.
They should.
They do. What do you think? They're all walking around like, what is that movie? What is that? That ring? The Hobbits? What do you think? Those nations are Hobbits?
Wow.
I don't know.
We've really gone over the edge here.
You said they're all short. That's what I'm saying. They got to have some guy that play. I've seen their rugby teams.
Gremlins. That's what you're talking about.
No, the Hobbits. No. Don't you remember the Hobbit movie?
I just like messing with
something of five, the Ring of Five or something like that.
The Lord of the Rings.
I did love that's what it says in the yearbook. Give me the movie on that one again.
It was Slapshot.
Slapshot. That's
it. Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
All right, my friends, that's our show. That's our show today.
I loved it. I love the fact that we got to go out on a tangent a little bit. And
talk about
a little bit of everything.
The health of football players.
Yeah.
And then we made it good. You know, folks, this is what our show is about here. You know, when we get closer to Cowboys season, we turn it up a notch. But right now, we're just the guys that are kicking back with you in the car. Steve-O's in the back seat. Rodney's in the back seat with him. I'm in the front seat with you. We're having a great time.
Why am I in the back seat with Steve?
I thought that was coming.
Is there nobody riding shotgun? So it's just me and Steve in the back and then you in the front. You. That's it?
Driving Miss Daisy. Folks,
they're obviously driving. I'm in the front passenger.
There's somebody chauffeuring us around, of course.
Yeah, you two just aren't in the back seat. All right, folks. From Cowboy Nation, it's great talking to you again. Check us out next week. From Steve-O and Rodney, we are out of here.
See ya.
I'm John-O, by the way. I should have said my name, too.
Go, boys.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci. excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.